Welcome to Difference Makers. I'm your host, Adam Van Brummer. On today's podcast, Savannah's film front person, Beth Nelson, on the movie and television industry's love for our city and how it has evolved over the decades. Nelson also talks about solving the facility shortfalls that are holding Savannah back as a film destination, and also how she went from being an elementary school teacher to the film commissioner. The Difference Makers podcast is brought to you by an organization making a major difference in our community, the Savannah Economic Development Authority. Savannah is a city that often feels like a small town, a village even. As such, our community leaders have familiar names, familiar faces, and work for familiar organizations and businesses. But do you know what makes them difference makers? The Savannah Economic Development Authority presents the Difference Makers Podcast, a program dedicated to highlighting Savannah's key players and their contributions to our community. Difference makers hail from several sectors, including commerce, government, education, arts and culture, and philanthropy. I'm Adam Van Brummer, editorial page editor of the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. Thank you for listening. Our latest difference maker is Beth Nelson, executive director of the Savannah Regional Film Commission. Her office is a go-to group for those interested in shooting films, television shows, commercials, and other visual media here in Savannah. Nelson has literally watched the industry grow up in Savannah, initially working as a volunteer on film productions, then in entry-level positions, and eventually as a location manager for projects, before moving into her current role as manager, promoter, liaison, and everything else that helps maintain Savannah's standing as a film destination. We're talking about something that's very top of mind here in Savannah, at least when someone is driving around and has to detour around something, right, Beth? And that's the film industry. And we're gonna come back later in this episode to talk a little bit about dealing with some of the challenges and how Savannah has evolved as a film town. But let's start where we usually do with the difference makers, and that's getting to know Beth a little bit better. And Beth, I understand that you're born and raised here in Savannah, right?
Yes, a native Savannian.
Yeah. Isle of Hope.
I live in Isle of Hope now. Been there about 30 years. Uh-huh. So grew up in Kensington Park.
Okay. Okay. And what was childhood in Savannah like for you?
Well, it was much different than it is now. As we know, I've seen such growth in Savannah over the years. We had my father worked at Union Bag, as it was called then. So that was, it was more of an industry town. And then, you can see how much it's changed, really, over the years, which is, it's been really great to see.
Growing up, there was some films that were shot here back then. But where did your real interest in filmmaking, movie making begin? Did it start when you were a little girl?
Well, I've always loved movies. I've been very interested in movies. And films, but it seemed so far away. It seemed, Hollywood and New York, and it's such a long way away. And it's been exciting to see the film industry come to our area. So I started my career as an elementary school teacher in the Chatham-Savannah school system and worked many years there. And then one day, a film came to Isle of Hope. It was a film, Jessica Tandy and Bridget Fonda were in it back in the 90s. It was called Camilla. And I just wandered down the street to watch what was going on and became fascinated with what was going on behind the camera, things that I had never known, watching all of these people just with, passionately running around, taking care of all these things. And you really realize how big it is. It's just much more than what you see on the screen. So that piqued my interest. And then I just started trying to find a way to do that here. Back then, it was such a smaller world. And there were local filmmakers here, I don't know how they did it because their work was so sporadic. I don't know how they made a living at it. But I started working with some of those people, getting to know the local filmmakers here, volunteering for some of their projects. And then it led to a job on a film. So
a job basically doing the grunt work.
Right. I had no idea what I wanted to do. But my first job offer, somebody needed a location PA. Mm-hmm. Location PA basically is taking care of the location, which means picking up the trash, dealing with a lot of dirty, nasty things, working long hours, getting the location ready, and then as the production moves on, cleaning up afterwards. But what I did while I was doing those things was just learned, watched, and I just loved it. I mean, it's just about working hard. You love it or you don't. And so I ended up working my way up three locations, assistant location manager, and then a location manager.
What was that first film?
It was called Cracker Jack.
Okay.
I think it might be on Netflix. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
somewhere
some
out there.
Here will remember, remember that film. Where was it shoot? Was it was shot in Isle of Hope or no?
No. Well, it was shot all over. It was a baseball movie. So some of it was at Grayson Stadium.
Right.
It was and at the Paulson baseball fields and just all over.
And you
over.
Mentioned a PA. Of course, that means production assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, you know, that it starts with picking up the trash. It also involves basically being a gopher, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you prove yourself as a gopher enough to move up the chain?
Well, you know, it's so much about those soft skills in any industry. Listening, being available, doing what you're told, doing it quickly, just being always ready. That's mainly what it's all about, is being ready and also knowing your place too.
Right.
And not stepping in when you shouldn't, that kind of thing. Right. So
be seen but not heard,
right,
for the most part, right?
Yeah.
Location scouting, so that's the next step. What all does that involve?
Well, with a location scout, is usually gets a script or a list of locations or a lookbook, a description of the project, and then you just take off and try to find what you think would work for the project. Taking pictures, that you've got to have good photography skills, and you have to be fast.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see things right away. So it's going out, shooting all day, coming back, uploading pictures, and then sending them out to be seen, and then getting feedback and following up on that. So,
and when you transition to that, is that when you left the teaching job, or were you still kind of doing both at the same time?
Yeah, I left teaching and decided to take a chance of working. And so, and things came in sporadically. It still wasn't steady back in those days, but we started getting more productions. So you work, and I tell you what people don't realize too is all of the photo shoots and commercials that come into Savannah. It's not just about the big feature films,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of work, and that was the bread and butter of it. And it would be maybe 5 days working on a photo shoot or a commercial. I did a lot of Belk commercials. That was great because they kept coming back and would hire me. So that kind of keeps you going between films.
Right. And I assume over time you learn maybe by osmosis because you got to fill in some of the technical aspects. Have you ever worked with any of the equipment or done any of the other jobs?
Well, that is not my strong suit. I do not want to touch a camera or
a boom mic.
Or the mic or the lighting or all of that. But you do learn. You have to know that in locations. You have to know.
You have
to have places for that equipment to go. You have to understand the lifts and the cranes and how to park them and where they go and the different, notice heights, tree heights when things are going through. So it is a lot about understanding the equipment and what is going to be needed and where lights are going to be set up. And, you know, sometimes it's attaching them from the roof. That's something you have to make sure the roof is stable. All of that falls under locations.
Mm-hmm. And did you just pick that up by experience, or did you do it in your research, or the combination of everything? Or?
Well, experience. And as I got better, I was very fortunate to work under some wonderful location managers that came in from LA and had lots of experience and took the time to teach me things.
Right.
And that was very helpful. I think that you will find that a lot in this industry, that people are willing to teach, not everybody, but a lot of people. And that's, for someone trying to enter the industry, that is the way to get ahead. Take advantage of those opportunities. Ask questions, listen, and learn.
Mm-hmm. So you're working as an independent contractor, and then there's some changeover at what was then the City Film Office, and you're asked to step in and fill a void on an interim basis. That's what, in 2016?
2016, or the end of 2015. So I stepped in to be interim film director for the City of Savannah, which is where the film office had always been. It was a city office.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, of course, film took place outside of the city limits, but officially they were responsible for filming in the city of Savannah. So I said, I will do this for 2 months, and that's it. I'm stepping back out, because it was not really what I wanted to do. I did not have a desire to write permits and do that kind of thing.
Right. And then CETA steps in and has an idea of, I'm assuming it, the whole premise of taking on the film office of the film commission was to take a more holistic, more an economic development angle to it, and that appealed to you.
Yes. So they had actually done several things. So starting in 2016, they offered a local incentive. Mm-hmm. So we have got a great tax credit for film in Georgia, but so many of the films were going to Atlanta. So CETA looked at a way to bring those films to Savannah, and what was determined was they would start a local incentive. So a production gets the tax credit in Georgia and then a 10% rebate on local spend in Chatham County. Mm-hmm. So they had that incentive in place, started it in 2016, and then that's really when they started talking or thinking about making the film office a division of CETA. Because basically, the reason for this is economic growth and economic development. That's why we want film here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not to have the glamour of Hollywood in Savannah, but it is to provide jobs and economic growth. And it just seemed to be a good fit under CETA. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, CETA covers the whole county. So that it's had expanded really to more than just the city of Savannah.
Yeah. So, and the marketing side of it appealed to you because you marketed Savannah for your own personal benefit for a lot of years. Can you kind of walk us through that?
Yeah, you know, not really knowing what I was doing, but just wanting to grow the film industry in Savannah personally because it provides jobs, and it was something I did not want to move. I was not going to move away from Savannah. So I did everything I could to encourage films to come to Savannah. When I worked on a film, I got to know producers and the people that were involved and just talk to them about the highlights of filming here and also ask a lot of questions. I remember my first movie when talking to a producer, just what does Savannah need? That was the question. What does Savannah need at the end of a show? And they were very willing to give me some things to think about. And the first thing was, well, you don't have a local caterer here.
Right.
I mean, that's a simple thing. And so I started working on trying to find some businesses that wanted to do catering for the film industry because it is a specific need. And then just coincidentally, I was out in Los Angeles for another reason and heard about a film that was looking at Savannah, wanted to come to Savannah, and that was Magic Mike XXL. So I got a number, phone number, called the person up, the producer, and she said, sure, come on in and talk to me about it. So walked right into their office and, you know, talked about the highlights of Savannah. You know, they were looking at Savannah already, but I feel like maybe in a way, you know, just enthusiastically telling them, you know, this is where you want to be. They came to Savannah. I got a job on that movie, so it helped me personally, but no idea of doing that really deliberately, but looking back now, it's what I do now all the time.
That's
so
right.
You know,
so that was a connective tissue,
right?
Now that you are in an official role with with CETA and with the trying to attract them to the community, you've already got that experience. Talk about what the Savannah Regional Film Commission, how do they work with the different municipalities, how they act as a liaison in terms of securing permits. How much of that is what you guys are doing day-to-day?
We work with the productions from before they even get here to long after they're gone, and we are the liaison, I guess is the best way to put it. So when a production is interested in Savannah, then we start our work, and we help them every step of the way, and a big part of that is knowing where to go for the permitting process. Mm-hmm. So we connect them with the local municipalities, City of Savannah, of course, being the biggest one, but if there's Tybee, there's Thunderbolt, Pooler, Garden City, and then even the other counties around here. So we are a liaison and just make those connections, really. Other permitting offices such as the Coast Guard, DNR, all of those things. Productions want one stop shopping, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
So they come to us with every question in the world. So our job is to know where everything is and to know who's in charge of certain locations or certain permitting offices, and so we just connect them. And then we are just there to help them with problems as they go along. Yeah. The permitting offices take over as far as actually doing the permitting, issuing the permitting, mm-hmm. permits, working with the productions as to where they want to go, what they're allowed to do. We give them some heads up, of course. For example, we say, you cannot shoot here in the middle of March. You know, there is a big event here. So we know those kind of things. But when it comes to the specifics, then we leave it up to the permitting offices to make those decisions.
Right. So you've been in this role a couple of years now. I assume that you must miss, to a certain extent, actually being down in the crew and doing the work you did for all those years.
Well, I do miss it. I miss just the camaraderie that you get from working on a film and being part of the crew, and I miss that. But at the same time, now I am a part of every film production that comes through here, and so that kind of makes up for it, because I do feel like I have those connections still. And if I was just, I would be only working on one show at a time, and now I'm kind of involved in all of them to a smaller degree. And of course, I keep up with the crew. We provide a lot of support to our local crew too, and help them to find jobs and anything. So we do crew mixers every quarter. So I feel I'm still involved with our local film crew.
Well, before we move on completely to the business side, I want to put you on the spot. Favorite projects you've worked on or worked with over the years?
I guess, oh gosh, that's hard. It's me personally working in locations.
Or in the role with the film office.
It's me in locations. I loved Magic Mike. Mm-hmm. That was fun. The Do-Over was a great experience too. Yeah. But as far as what's here, every show is different. And it's exciting to me to see the ones that are successful. And I think really what the ones that are coming up soon are going to be the highlight. We'll see, just because of what they're going to do to highlight Savannah.
Do you get a sense of while you're working on something of whether it's going to be successful or not, or is it just completely because of the way it's shot? It's not shot sequentially. Obviously, if you've got a megastar, you know that has a pretty good chance of, if Tom Hanks is sitting there on a bench, you know that that's probably going to be pretty successful to some standpoint. Do you get an idea when you're on location and working on a movie or a project of how successful it's going to be?
Well, there's so many factors that make something successful. That's the weird thing. I mean, if people knew what was going to be successful, boy, that's the magic crystal ball.
Yeah.
You kind of get a sense, but you never know. I mean, we have The Act, which is a Hulu show that's on now that has just been hugely successful. But the subject matter is just so grim. And when I first heard about it, I thought, well, who would want to watch this? It's just going to be very depressing.
Yeah,
but
it's a true crime series, right?
Yeah, it's a true crime series, and it's true. You could not make this up. But the acting is amazing. It has got rave reviews. It's just been so successful. So you really don't know. We get scripts. The scripts, that's the first thing we do. Everyone in my office, we read the scripts. We talk about that a lot. And we say, oh, this is a terrible script, But some of them are just amazing. Some of them don't get made. You don't know. But you've got a story, that's the beginning of it, but then there's so many other factors involved, such as the acting, the casting, getting the right people in it, the cinematography, all of those things contribute to making something successful.
Is it pretty exciting for you and your staff to see the finished product? I remember when Bagger Vance shot here, I was living downtown, and they shot down at the federal courthouse, and to actually see it on the screen, it was kind of surreal. Do you all have the same kind
of
feeling?
Yeah, it's great. In fact, just yesterday, the Gemini Man trailer dropped, so we made it a big event. We had during lunch, we put it on our big screen and all watched the trailer, and just for made it kind of an event, because it's exciting to see Savannah on the screen and to see what they've done. And it's also fun when you know the location and how different it might look on the screen, too. Knowing, it, as we do, what is like just to the right or the left of the camera that could change it.
We'll turn our attention to the business side of Savannah's film industry in a moment. But first, let's talk about the Savannah Economic Development Authority. When it comes to difference makers in our area, the team at CEDA, which does include Beth Nelson, is pushing to make Savannah a great place to work and live. CEDA is committed to creating, growing, and attracting jobs and investment in the Savannah region. Whether you're a business looking to relocate to Savannah or an existing business ready to grow and expand, CEDA is the centrifuge of your propeller, making the connections and helping propel your business to success. Learn more about the Savannah Economic Development Authority and what they do in the Savannah community by visiting CEDA.org. So let's shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit about the business. Now, I think a lot of people, when they think of the movie industry, they think of the glitz, the glamour, Hollywood. That's not where you guys are coming from, right?
Right. And that is the most important thing, I think, that we want to emphasize, that the movie business is about jobs. It is not about glamour. It's not about Hollywood. So it's jobs for our local crew, money coming into local businesses, and all of our vendors here. We have had such great success story from the vendors that have learned how to work with the film industry. And, you know, also those people that come here to film, those, if you earn your money here, you're going to spend your money here. And, of course, that generates revenue for businesses and also tax revenue for the city. So it's about the money. That's what it's about. And it's about creating jobs. And the jobs in the film industry encompass such a wide variety, from hair, makeup, catering. There's so many jobs in the art department. There are carpenters and painters that work in the film industry. So they're not just camera operators and people that are working with specific film equipment. It's a wide range. Costumers, people that sew, they have jobs here. It's just a wide range. And the jobs are well paying. They are very good paying jobs. And you don't have to have a college degree necessarily to get in this industry. So it provides opportunities for people that can have a good, well paying job without much prep.
How deep is our talent pool and how do we make it deeper?
Well, we have, it's growing constantly. We have been so fortunate over the last year and a half to have steady work, and that makes people feel confident that the industry is really here. It's not sporadic, and they'll stay here. So what has happened in the past, people get their start here and move away.
Yeah.
And now I'm finding they're staying here. They want to stay here. We're also attracting people here. So we've had some unfortunate events in other states. Florida lost their tax credits, and the film industry kind of dries up. North Carolina, the same thing.
Yeah, so those, Wilmington was a big Hollywood East for a long time, right? Now all of a sudden, just like that.
About 30 years, and we have a lot of very talented crew from that area that have moved down to Savannah to work. You know, Savannah is a lot like Wilmington as far as the location, and so we are attracting those people here. And we also have, CEDA also offers, besides our local incentive for productions, we offer a workforce incentive. So we will pay moving expenses for qualified crew who relocate to Savannah. So that is helping us draw people in, too.
And I know we have some resources, Savannah State, I believe, or is it Savannah Tech? I usually butcher it, and I get a call from one or the other. Savannah State is where there's a film program.
It's Savannah Technical College has the Georgia Film Academy.
There you go.
So the Georgia Film Academy was created a few years ago to train Georgia workforce. So we got a branch of it. I think there may be 17 or 18 branches across the state of Georgia. And so ours is located at Savannah Technical College. It is a two-semester program, and they have an internship at the end. And that has been an amazing thing for us to offer to producers. You can have interns here to work on your production, and the program pays the interns, and the interns then get experience working on a show, and that's, and they get the credit for it. That's part of the program. They have to do their internship. And what has been amazing to me is to watch these interns do their internship, and the production turns right around and hires them permanently, or, you know, for the show. And the next show then comes on and hires them. So we have had some great success stories out of the Georgia Film Academy. And then, of course, we also have SCAD, Savannah College of Art and Design. We work very closely with them, too, with the film department. And they've got a great casting department, too. So it's been amazing to see some of those students cast in some of our local productions. They also have interns that work on shows, too. So we get our SCAD students some experience. Savannah State also has some type of, it's more of a communication program rather than a film program. And then Georgia Southern also has a film program, too. So we work with all of those colleges.
Yeah, so a lot of good resources there. And I know that you also organize some PA boot camps, some for vendors, maybe some educational workshops. You run those occasionally. What do those add to the mix?
Well, we are very fortunate that we have a DGA assistant director who lives in Savannah, and he really has an interest in training people correctly because he will be hiring them to work on the shows, and he wants to make sure they know what they're doing. So he volunteers his time, and we try to do it at least twice a year to have a boot camp. It's been very popular. We've had a lot of applicants. And so he does, it's an intensive two-day workshop training production assistants in what they need to do. We get walkies, they're trained on how to use a walkie, all of the paperwork they need to do, and just goes through that whole process with them. So that's just a little boost if you've got that interest. And sometimes that's all it takes, is then just getting a job as a PA and then working your way up.
So let's spend the balance kind of diving a little bit deeper into some things here. And I think we touched on it, or I touched on it in the opener, was Savannah has been a film location now for a couple of decades, and business has gotten better and better. And I'm just curious as to how some of the attitudes have evolved or changed in terms of embracing having the productions in town, or is there still a lot of grousing? And I know that the city probably has to deal with that more than you do, but how has it changed, and how is that relationship between the film industry and the local community improving or otherwise?
Well, I think we learn as we go, and I think the main component of that to be successful here is communication. So people just want to know what's going on, and so we have done a lot of things to work to help with that communication, working with the productions, connecting them with neighborhood associations and those kind of groups that can help get the word out, because it's mainly when they know what's happening, then it's a little easier. No one likes surprises. No one likes to show up and find out a road is closed or their favorite parking place is taken. So I think it's communicating with the public. And the other thing we're doing is spreading the industry out in the region. So we don't want to saturate one area and have all of the filming there. And there's so many other locations that work just as well as if we let the productions know that these locations exist. So we have a location database, and we just keep going further out into the surrounding counties to show options there, spreading it out. So one area does not have more than they should take, of inconvenience.
And you mentioned it is the Savannah Regional Film Commission, right? And the way the incentives are written, the local incentives, or the local rebate is written, is within 60 miles of City Hall in Georgia.
Right.
So how far out does that reach, and where are some people going?
Well, that, if you take a compass, I guess, and draw that line out 60 miles, it's much further than I even thought. It includes Darien. We had Gemini Man filmed a lot in Glenville, and that was wonderful for that community. They benefited in so many ways, and we're so excited to have a film production come there. So we're trying to spread it out throughout the region to show those locations. But at the same time, we're keeping a lot of the economic spend here in Savannah, because they, of course, are going to stay in hotels here, spend money here. So it really benefits both the outerlying counties and still helping stimulate the economic growth in Savannah.
Right. So we mentioned the local incentives. The big driver, inarguably, was the state incentive, which came in 2008. And obviously, you've been involved in the industry since that came in. If you had to try to summarize what that decision by the state has meant and what it's going to, looks like it's going to continue to mean, because the new governor has expressed support for it as well, how would you kind of sum that up?
Well, that is the critical key. The film industry is driven by incentives. You know, we're a member of the Association of Film Commissioners International. I go to conferences twice a year. This is film commissions around the world meet, and it's all about incentives. That's where they're coming. They want to save money. We've seen it happen in other places when the incentives dry up, the production industry dries up. So it is critical. I feel like we have a lot of other things to offer to help with that, such as our diverse locations, our great crew that are here in Georgia, all of the support industries that are here. But at the end of the day, if the incentives go away, the industry is going to go away. Georgia has, I think, the best incentive in the world. I mean, there's no sunset. There's producers aren't worried about it reaching a cap. We have no cap. So it's a very solid incentive. And I feel that, you know, with the support of our new governor, that it's going to be great. Just that will keep us going.
So that incentive has led to a lot of infrastructure, particularly in Atlanta. They have several studios up there now. I was up a month ago and riding the MARTA and went right by Tyler Perry Studios. And it's pretty, you know, it's pretty impressive. I know that soundstage is a big challenge here. How do we tackle some of these things that, maybe are just the little things that are, I wouldn't say little things, big things that are holding us back? How do we, where are those things and how do we conquer them?
Well, we definitely need a soundstage here, a professional soundstage. And I think the time has come. We are in communication with companies that have expressed interest in building a stage here. We are encouraging those conversations. CETA is very involved in a lot of different aspects of trying to get a stage built here. And I think because we've had such steady work, because we have several TV series that we're waiting to hear may get picked up and then would be that kind of way to really grow the industry, I think that is going to, there are people watching and waiting, and I think they're going to make their move soon. But we really, to get to the next level, we have got to have a soundstage.
We have one facility, right, at the Savannah Film Factory, but it's limited by the ceiling height.
Right. The Savannah Film Factory has been a great resource here. Wonderful facility. It's soundproofed and done well. It's owned by a company called Broadway Stages out of New York. They have relationships with companies, and they put us on the radar, too, which has helped in recruiting. It's a great facility, but there is a limitation with the ceiling height, and it holds one production.
Right.
So we need more, you know, we need more options, too. Right. So,
yeah. And the other piece of that, of course, is set building. You need facilities for that, and there's really only one place that accommodates that right now.
Right. We do have... been very fortunate. Jonesville Baptist Church owns, it was originally a plumbing warehouse, I believe, so it is a great warehouse building, and they have make it available for productions that come in. It started with SpongeBob, and they built the Magic Mountain in that building. They built Underground, the TV series, used it to build a plantation house. Gemini Man's used it. Lady and the Tramp used it. So it's been it's been used a lot, but the church has plans for it in the future to turn it into a facility for the church to use. So one day soon, it's going to go away. So
the other piece, I think, is airlift. Right? Yeah. I mean, we've added flights. It's amazing the growth of our airport and the nonstop routes that they've added in the last, certainly the last 10 years, probably the last 5 years. What can we do to get that LAX to SAV? Direct flight.
We need it desperately. I mean, it makes such a difference. I have a personal story and also story from productions. When you have to make a stop somewhere, there are all kinds of things that can interfere, such as weather issues and mechanical issues, and you can't be assured that your flight will be in that amount of time. There are delays that can happen, mm-hmm. and that is a critical problem when you're trying to get people here. It's very important that we just pursue that. I think the holdback from the airlines is, will those planes be filled? I personally think they will be, and not just with the film industry. I think there's tourism opportunities coming in from LAX, which is the gateway to Asia. Mm-hmm. I think there's businesses. We are a big port. I think that there would be people coming for that reason. I've talked to SCAD. They have people coming all the time to talk to their students. And so they are really seeing the need for it. So I think those flights would be full. So it's just getting an airline to take that chance.
To buy into that as well. I guess the last piece is a recruiting piece, right? How do you – we talked about the fact that we have a lot of the hands-on people here. How do we recruit the more creative talent, the more the writers, the directors, the people that really create these productions?
Yes. I think that that's really what's needed, too, to grow us in that way. But I think the main way to do that is to let people know we're here and what is available here. And one way that's happening is when productions come in here, the people at the top get to see Savannah up front and personal. Our quality of life is like nothing else. Mm-hmm. They would much rather be here than in a big city, a lot of them. So I think it's making sure that they see the best that Savannah has to offer, they see the opportunities, and then let them spread the word amongst their colleagues about what's available here.
Let's project into the future. Let's say we get a sound stage and a flight, and all of a sudden we've got a little bit deeper pool of creative talent. What is the future for film in Savannah?
Well, I think that what it's going to mean is a lot of jobs and a lot of economic impact. And what I would love to see, a goal, which first you have to have the base before you can, take everybody on. But I see even helping with the poverty problem here in Savannah. I think that these are jobs that are available, that you don't need a college education. It's easy to access into this industry. And once we have a soundstage, people working year-round, then we can bring in more programs that will help train people that really just don't see a future here and hopefully keep them here and just handle some of the low economic problems that we have here with.
What is the magic bullet? Is it a series, a successful series?
A successful series would be wonderful. That what that does is it guarantees people work. The series is coming back year after year. They feel confident. It would be great.
Do we have some things out there now that are potentially going to fill that hole? I know Bruce Feiler and the Council of Dads, mm-hmm. you mentioned the act earlier. Florida Girls?
Right. We have several. What we're waiting to right now is to see which will be picked up. Mm-hmm. So Council of Dads shot the pilot here. Mm-hmm. Bruce Feiler is the author of the book that it's based on. He is local Savannah. Mm-hmm. It is set in Savannah. So we're waiting to hear. It'll be a couple of months. We'll hear if they decide to pick it up. If so, that will be 22 episodes of that series, which would be amazing. No guarantee they would shoot it here, but I think it's set in Savannah.
Yeah,
it's been established in Savannah, so I see that happening. We also have Florida Girls, which is Pop TV. They shot here last year. It has not aired yet. It's going to air in July. We'll see. I thought it was great. It's funny. Hopefully it'll be successful. Then they will come back.
Is it a sitcom? Is it a reality
show?
Yeah,
it's a sitcom. Yeah. And then The Act, which is the Hulu show that is hugely successful right now, we'll wait to see if that gets picked up. The interesting thing about that one, though, is each season is a different true crime, so it may or may not be a crime that works in Savannah. Right. But they had a great experience here, so I'm hopeful for that one, too.
But the bottom line is everybody's looking for The Walking Dead that will turn their town into.
Exactly. So, and then we get calls all the time. There's several pilots now that have shot elsewhere that are talking to us about bringing it here, waiting to see. So that's what is really exciting about my job. I never know each day what phone call will come in, what the day will bring.
Film industry giving back. I know that that is a big something I think a lot of people don't understand how much they give back to the communities that they film in. Can you touch on that?
A lot of the productions, when they come in, they ask about what they can do to give back, and they do that in so many ways. We've been so fortunate lately with the ACT, the Hulu show. They built a neighborhood, basically, set. And what they did when that was over, they had to take it apart, and they donated all of those building materials to Habitat for Humanity, and they were just so grateful to get that. We also have catering food that has been donated to a lot of nonprofits in Savannah, and that is just a wonderful way to feed the hungry here. Then there's also been just direct donations to some charities here that they felt close to. There was a donation to the Humane Society. There have been donations to other nonprofits here. And then personally, some of the actors that have come here have found things close to their heart. Patricia Arquette herself personally donated to some local charities that she was made aware of while she was here that meant something to her. So that's helpful too.
Yeah. Well, Beth, we really appreciate you coming in, and it's been very educational. We very much appreciate what you do to make a difference in this community, and we'll look forward to seeing what the next project is.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. I love being able to get the word out about film in Savannah.
Let me thank our guest, Savannah Regional Film Commission Executive Director Beth Nelson, as well as our presenting sponsor, the Savannah Economic Development Authority. Listen to new and archived episodes of Difference Makers wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Recent programs have featured Healthy Savannah's Paula Chrysler and the Savannah Music Festival's David Pratt. Difference Makers is a production of the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com, and for a limited time, podcast listeners can take advantage of a special digital subscription offer. Get your first month free and pay just $7.99 a month after that. Visit SavannahNow.com/digital-only offer now. That's SavannahNow.com, digital-only offer. Thank you for listening.